we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo. I'm Mo Lesnar. And I'm an ass picker.
You are an ass picker. Picking your own ass.
Oh yeah.
Surprised you made it in time for the show.
Usually that's actually the activity I'm doing while watching TNA.
That's true. TNA.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not watching TNA.
No.
No. I might start, though. They got something exciting me. So
really?
We'll talk about it a little later, though.
All right.
What do you got on your list? Go.
Go. Well, this is... Well, you mentioned it, so we might as well... you mentioned the name Lesnar.
Who?
Lesnar. And he's not a superstar.
He is an ass kicker.
He's an ass kicker.
Your mom is an ass licker, and I appreciate it.
I know you do. I know you do. Toilet paper. Brock Lesnar gets his, 3.5 minute promo time on Raw. Obviously, it was good. We talked about, is he going to be there? Is he not going to be there? It seemed like he was, but he was just on the show, not live in front of the crowd or even over in London. This is the correct usage of Brock Lesnar.
Absolutely.
This was the best video package.
This is the best usage of Brock Lesnar. There's a hell of a lot of guys who should be used like this. This is how you promote in 2012.
That's what your mom said. Well, yeah, if you want to legitimize this, as they keep saying, you can bring legitimacy and then, yeah, this is on sort of the, in the same vein or on the heels of the one, once in a lifetime,
mm-hmm.
that special, where they'd had some of those sit-down moments with Cena and Rock. Yeah, this is your superstar profile way to be promoting these big fights, right?
Well, the one I keep on going back to is the one where Cena was in an empty arena and gave that promo. And that's almost like them trying to do that with Cena, and instead it came across so phony because it wasn't capturing who Cena is. It's capturing who they want him to be, and it was a bunch of prepared lines.
Right.
Camera cuts and this and that. It didn't have that feel of legitimacy. It was trying to do the same thing. But instead, it came across like a high school drama monologue, right?
Yeah.
Whereas this came across like a guy who's saying what he is and what he's going to do. And it's simple, and it's vicious, mm-hmm. and I want to see him do it.
Yeah. Well, everything was just, you know, when he's talking about, you know, he's scared shitless, and he's going to have piss running down his leg. And then they go to him, and he's just laughing about that he said that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at the very end, and you know what, you know, beating people up. That's what makes me happy.
Yeah.
Just the way he said it. You know,
and you know what? He said that when he was in UFC, and you know it's true.
Yeah.
So you know it's true. And this is it. And this is a heel promo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's an awesome promo.
Yeah.
But he's not likable in the promo. If the promo is awesome, though, you want to see him fight. You may cheer for him, you may not. But it's definitely...
Chicago.
And this is why I said he's a natural heel. He is. The other stuff that you can do to turn him heel, stay away from that sports entertainment... putting him with Laurinaitis and that shit.
Right.
Just do this. So you have simply put it up. This guy's a bully. He's not a nice guy. And he's going to hurt you or hurt anybody who's in his way.
And
then he's going to have no conscience about it.
And
that's it.
And he said, you know, this isn't a feel-good moment. Why I come back. I just care about me.
Yeah.
That's it, right?
Yeah, I'm here to legitimize this place.
Yeah.
And even that comes across like it's for selfish reasons. I'm here to legitimize this place because it's in my history and because it's become a joke. And when people talk about me, used to talk about me in the UFC, they still would bring this up. So if I legitimize this place now, then that just legitimizes my entire career.
Exactly.
It's kind of how it came across to me. So I thought
yeah.
it was terrific.
No,
This promo, just awesome.
It was exactly what was needed. They're going
to
do...
It was all you needed to watch on Raw. In fact, if Raw had been 3.5 minutes, they had played this and then gone off the air, they would have had a hell of a lot of buys.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then the crowd was great in England as well. And they did the same, they did Raw and SmackDown, you're right. And I think that, I'm going back to sort of to Raw myself in my head right now. And yeah, that promo is really all that's sticking out to me in terms of what,
it's in terms of what was excellent, but it was so excellent is all you talk about or think about. So it leaves a lasting image.
I'm just thinking, I mean, I remember liking the Punk-Henry match.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Was it? There was another match that I liked.
And you know what? I have to say, I watched that Punk Henry match, and I thought to myself, hey, when you said that you couldn't put Punk with Lesnar, I'm
right.
like, well, this is the exact type of match you do if you want to do that. Like, this is the template for how you do that and how that can be a good match, too.
Yeah, and I mean, it wasn't, you know, an outstandingly spectacular, unbelievable match.
No, it was probably
match.
Three stars, maybe three and a half,
with
so,
the,
which is pretty good, considering.
Yeah, I mean, it had the, I mean, again, I don't, you still don't give a shit about this, you know, I'm going to, you know, you drink.
No, you don't. Like, that storyline's stupid. I can't wait for this. I'm assuming that this is over after this. Who knows? I know Chris Jericho is, I mean, this storyline with him and Punk. I know Jericho is going to be going touring with Fozzy in the summer, so he's not going to be around. Not going to be in the WWE, apparently, and he probably won't even be there at SummerSlam, is the understanding. So I mean, if he's going away, I imagine this or shortly after he gives a rub to somebody else, he'll be gone.
Well,
I can't wait for this, because, I mean, I'm 90% sure since he showed up at the house shows here on the SmackDown,
Christian.
90% sure Christian and Punk is going to be next, and that should be fantastic.
Well,
I can't wait for that.
You know, the thing was with Jericho, you know, you don't trust anything he says, obviously, right? So it's
my understanding is the dates are booked though with his band.
That doesn't mean that he's going to be off TV. You know, like that's the thing is, you know. So I mean, who knows? I don't take anything.
He has a worker.
So I don't take that to mean really anything. It would make sense. It wouldn't surprise me because, yeah, he's got tour dates booked and blah, 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 but really nothing shocks me. The other thing that come out of that, I remember there was another match, and I was trying to think of what it was. It was Daniel Bryan against Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, that's pretty decent.
Had a pretty good match, I thought. Yep. And of course, leading to this, the backstage segment where the LaBelle Lock, you know, Gene LaBelle, who'd he ever beat?
That was funny.
Been now changed to the Yes Lock.
That's stupid.
Because that's what you say when the ref asks if you tap out.
Yeah. I don't like that. I just, personally, I don't get me wrong, I understand why you do it.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
He's over, the Yes chance is over, so the Yes Lock will be over.
Yeah.
And people will chant Yes when he puts it on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. But it's just as a name, I'm like, I think about the most devastating moves in the history of wrestling, the figure four leg lock, the
moss-covered three-handled family credenza.
The DDT.
Yeah.
The demolition decapitator.
Mm-hmm.
The yes lock.
Yeah. Arm bar.
Just doesn't work as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I don't know why they just don't call it the crossface. It is the crossface.
It is the crossface, yeah.
But whatever. LaBelle Lock was good, too. It's just
somebody
you know.
Named Daniel doing the crossface.
Yeah.
But
as long as nobody puts the crossface on, Daniel, we're good to go.
That's true. Reversal. Counter after counter, as it were. I think, that worked, and that the next night SmackDown taped from the same arena, the O2 arena. You didn't see the SmackDown this week. Got to tell you, great show.
Yeah, you told me you really liked it.
It was great. Daniel Bryan and AJ, mm-hmm. you know, AJ come out saying, come on, Daniel's stupid. Let's just talk and air this out. You're upset. Let's try to work this out. And he said, you know, get the hell out of here. You know, I wish you were never born.
Yeah.
And then he
she snaps and beats the shit on Natalia.
Edited as the crowd was, as sweet and noise the crowd was, they couldn't hide it.
Yeah.
Because people throw their hands up in the air every time they go, yes, right?
That's true.
So that's all you could see, and they had to let some of it through to get other points across. So the yes chant was definitely over in England, and as much as they tried to
well,
sneak
it's,
it through,
it's
it couldn't
hard,
work, right?
You know, who goes to the crowd or to the wrestling matches when they go travel and do a Raw in England? Hardcores, right? It's going to be the same. It's not that different than the crowd that would go to Raw the night after Miami. On the other hand, I get the feeling that this isn't going away, and I think if they don't put the title back on him at Extreme Rules next week,
mm-hmm.
I think it's a huge mistake.
Well, some people are you know, I'm getting, you know, tweets and emails about, you know, there was a yes chant at an Andrew WK concert.
Nice.
There's a yes chant at, you know, so-and-so basketball game or whatever. Like, just, it's starting to kind of...
It's crossing over.
Crossing over. Not,
it is, yeah.
You know, but it, so you're, yeah, I'm with you. You know, Sheamus, you know, great fella.
And he'll have his time, but this is Daniel Bryan's time.
Well, and it's
you,
not even...
You need to...
Yeah, you know, Sheamus right now, there's nothing... You don't have that breakthrough potential with Sheamus right
nope.
now.
No, you don't.
You do with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, that's the thing. Right now, everybody else who could hold the belt is just the guy who's not holding the belt when it's Daniel Bryan, and that includes Sheamus. And that's not a knock on Sheamus.
No.
I like Sheamus.
Yeah.
That's just that Daniel Bryan should have... Daniel Bryan should be the... Right now, he should definitely be the face of SmackDown, and pretty damn soon, he should probably be the face of the entire company. This keeps up.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's just it. And you've got natural... feuds with Punk,
yep.
And you know, and again, you know, with Sheamus, I mean, and he's got Mark Henry that he can go back to, you know, Randy Orton, Christian. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking heel and babyface, John Cena.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much in the way of
Sin Cara.
Fresh Sin Cara.
I would like to see Sin Cara versus Daniel Bryan. I think
Heath
that'd be interesting.
Later.
Well, no.
No, there's
he'll be in the tag team division.
That's right, with JTG.
Yes,
Southern Rock.
We'll get to that in
Rock
a bit.
And rap. But so that was one of the things that was, I think, SmackDown.
But Rey Mysterio though.
With that. Yeah, Rey Mysterio as well.
Yep.
Lots of potential there.
Lots of potential. Lots of fresh matchups with Daniel Bryan, and that's awesome. And I think, I mean, like you said, baby faces or heels, both will work with him. And that's another thing that's awesome about Daniel Bryan. Put the belt back on him and make it, like I said, pretty soon he's got to be, you know.
Well, and if you want that superstar title change reaction, you're in Chicago for Daniel Bryan.
That's right.
And that's similar to the Punk reaction that they got, that they fucked up. Oh,
yep.
Daniel Bryan against Triple H. Fuck, what did I think of? Daniel Bryan against Kevin Nash. What? Fuck. Book it.
Book it.
Don't
book
it. Actually, they've already used Kevin Nash, though. They've already used Kevin Nash with CM Punk, so maybe you bring Scott Hall in.
Oh, yeah. And he can beat up AJ, too.
Yes. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Never thought of that. And he's drunk, so he could be teamed with CM Punk.
There you go. It just writes itself.
This really does. I mean, if I could be honest with you.
Yeah, if you could, that's shit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, honestly, you're right. The superstar reaction, he gets the belt back. That's the thing to do. And then the question is, how much momentum does he get? And if he gets enough, then is that when a guy who, like Steve Austin, who goes, I'm on the fence. I'd come back if it was the right guy in the right angle, but I won't do it just to do it.
Right.
Is that what makes him go, that's it. That's the guy. That's the guy I've been waiting for years. You know, and that's the other potential, right?
That could very well, yeah. No, that's right. That's very true, actually.
Because he's not going to do it just to do it. He's going to do it if it's the right guy, the right angle, the right money, everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's
and this could be if he gets to be the guy who's the biggest guy since The Rock and Austin.
Yeah.
And who knows? I mean, I'm not saying he will be. I'm not saying he won't though. If he gets to be that guy,
there's that potential there. I mean, we sat back about...
Hilarious how they used to talk about how boring he was.
I
had no charisma.
He's got a promo, but he just could work. The thing was, 9 months ago, we sat here and we said this about CM Punk, because he cut that promo and he had that momentum. And that you could, and again, we talked, you know, we just briefly hit on the fact that all of a sudden at SummerSlam, Kevin Nash runs down. And then, you know, I stopped caring about the product for
quite a while. I think it's different, though.
Well...
And I'll tell you why I think it was different. CM Punk came out and cut the promo, so it was there for them, and all they had to do was use it.
Right.
But you know what? He needed to continue doing the same thing and continue cutting those kind of promos and being the right angles. Daniel Bryan, despite not getting as much mic time as a CM Punk did, despite not being nearly as high on the card or having as high-profile opponents, is getting the reaction that a Punk was getting.
Well,
and that means to me that there's something extra there.
And
there's something there that speaks to the right person at the right time.
Yeah.
Punk was the right person to cut that promo at the right time, but that angle might not have been the right angle at the right time after all.
Well,
Daniel Bryan just looks like the right everything at the right time now.
And I'll give you an idea, not even the right time, because I think that might even be just to kind of further what we're saying, is it CM Punk, you're right, but we just talked about the potential there with CM Punk, but CM Punk cut that promo out of nowhere.
Yeah.
This yes chant and this Daniel Bryan sort of, I'll say, groundswell has really happened and has been happening
this
pretty
is closer
much for
to,
all of 2012.
This is closer to Austin 316.
Exactly.
You know?
Is that this has been happening pretty much since, I mean, we looked at that, we were looking forward at the Royal Rumble to that cage match because we wanted to see how Daniel Bryan, just turning heel, was going to escape with the belt.
Yeah.
When CM Punk first turned heel on Jeff Hardy many years ago, that's kind of how I felt because it was a long, drawn out, and you're just sort of waiting for it to happen.
Yeah.
And with Bryan, it was waiting for him to turn, and then once he turned, it became entertaining, and they got the AJ. So this has really been going for months now.
Yeah.
And this is just seems like it's all kind of not culminated, but it's ready to hit that next
And that's
phase.
The thing is, the other thing is, I feel like as soon as CM Punk cut that promo and there was a lot of momentum, like creative came in and went, oh, fuck, we got to go with this. And they took it over.
Yes.
And they didn't know what to do with it. Whereas Daniel Bryan, I feel like they haven't yet come in and went,
well,
this
you know
is
what
we need to take
Actually,
over and
I
fuck
think
it
they,
up.
I think they have.
You think?
But he's just been, well, I mean, the whole AJ thing is just, but I think that, because that reeks of like, Gewurz and the misogynistic bullshit of we got to yell at all the women, you know. And
yeah, I guess it's different that Gewurz for Punk was trying to cut what he thought Punk's character was and be cool.
Yeah.
And he's not cool, so it came across,
that's
it
right.
didn't come across well. Whereas Daniel Bryan, he's trying
douche.
To be a douche. And that's what he is.
And he's very good at that. Exactly. So, that's the thing, right? So,
yeah.
You know, and it's a team effort as well, because earlier in the turn, Daniel Bryan beating the crap out of Mark Henry.
Yeah.
So there you have your Michael Hayes influence.
Yeah.
So it's all very
everybody
a team
in there.
Effort.
Everybody's in there.
But you just, I mean, I think that this is a long drawn out, a longer drawn out groundswell.
I don't think Michael Hayes wanted him to beat up Mark Henry.
No?
No, why would he want him to beat up one of his own?
That's true. Isn't there enough of that in the world?
Yeah.
But I think that it's time, as you said, it's time to get the belt on.
You need to get it back on him.
2 out of 3 falls, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if...
The only reason you don't put it back on him is because you want to build the chase a little more and have it back on him at a bigger show. But theoretically, with Lesnar Cena, this is a big show. I mean, we keep on thinking this is just Extreme Rules.
No,
it's
I know.
Not.
It's, no, that's right, it's not. I mean, you've got, the way I do that 2 out of 3 falls really quickly, though, just my idea to throw it out there, Brogue kick 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
And then, Bryan rolls out and, you know, yeah, you didn't win, though. You didn't win.
Yeah.
Then Bryan wins the next 2 falls.
Yeah. So. And you could even have AJ screw him if he doesn't win it? Do you have AJ help him win it? What's her role?
You know, I could see lots of possibilities with AJ. I could see AJ trying. I mean, fresh off her destruction, I guess you'll say, of Natty, you know, that she just snapped.
Is she turning? It felt like she
turned.
Well,
that's what I mean. Is it had snapped, and so maybe she goes, "Well, this is me. This is what you want from me, Daniel," and so she snaps and she tries to help. Hell, if they're gonna go that way, does it one fall apiece and AJ tries to help Bryan by hitting Sheamus with a chair and screws it up?
Yeah.
And then he gets mad at her again, right?
And then again, that prolongs the chase, too. It depends. Because he's the heel who is the babyface.
Exactly.
So it's okay. The other thing, though, I mean, and this is, I think it was Bryan Alvarez who said this, that he wanted this, especially if she is the sweet Miss Elizabeth AJ, if he tries to get the belt back, doesn't get it back, and if she's still the girlfriend, and then girlfriend or not, whatever, she becomes the Divas champion.
Right.
His character and the ways they could go with that and how funny and how good he would be with it, I think it could really get over. I think that could be tremendous.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think it's too late for that, though. I think they had to still be together for that to happen.
I think if she gets it without him.
Right.
I think there's ways to do it.
There
but
is
I think
still
that's,
that possibility. But, you know, other things we saw on SmackDown, though, while we're on SmackDown, or that I saw on SmackDown.
That you saw on SmackDown, that you'll tell me about.
Darren Young and Titus O'Neil.
Bizarro Cena.
Yes. What is it? The real deal, Titus O'Neil, and I think Mr. No Nights Off.
That's his name?
Yeah. Anyway, they were in the back, and of course, Teddy Long's there.
That's your mom's nickname, too,
there
except
you
for
go.
Some mister.
There you go, see? Teddy Long was there.
Well, she gave me that nickname, actually.
And, well, and the thing when I thought about your mom is that this happened in the back.
Oh, so there you go.
Yeah. They're back there. They're mocking Teddy Long for not hiring him.
Yeah.
Of not hiring them, and then all of a sudden...
New talent initiative.
Right. And John Laurinaitis come in. They showed tremendous personality.
Okay.
They were just young.
Which I think is something Young has not shown in the past.
Yeah. And they were young, cocky, brash.
And what does Jerry Young, what's his look right now? Does he... what's his hairstyle, his ring gear?
He's
what's
got
he?
Short... he's got a, I'm trying to think of who to...
How John
Ron
Cena...
Ron Simmons.
Okay, he's not... How
Nation
John Cena, if it, is he looking, is the question.
Well, I mean, his face is identical to fucking John Cena. So, like, yeah. Unless he puts facial hair, which he didn't have, he's going to look
maybe
like
he
John
should.
Cena. Yeah, Fu Manchu or something.
Maybe he should. Maybe he should do a beard or something. Yeah.
Anything. But
yeah.
He's got Farouk-like hair.
Yeah.
Basically.
Okay.
And then Titus O'Neil... So they beat the Usos with a tandem maneuver, almost basically a top rope heart attack.
Okay.
So.
That's fine.
Yeah. No, and I thought it was great when they finished him with a tandem move. I thought this is beautiful. It's great.
Team.
They don't have a name
a
yet,
team.
But a tag team. Holy fuck! And they're young. They're cocky.
What is it? The real deal and Mr. No Nights Off.
No Nights Off. So
the real nights off.
So what this?
What do you think? Book it.
Book the what? The Real Nights Off?
Yeah.
Really? The Real Nights Off of Orange County? No? Okay. They kind of reminded me almost of like a New Age Outlaw type thing.
Yeah.
You know, where these were just young guys, brats, don't have a name yet, but, you know, come out with these sort of nicknames or whatever. And so it was good. It was, you know, they beat the Usos. It was another team, right? So just... Thought it was great, you know. Keep it going. And it was the fact that they showed personality that I was really impressed with.
Cool.
Also, we had heard the spoilers come out that looked like Claudio Castagnoli, Antonio Cesaro was going to be paired with Regal. What actually happened was, well, basically the backstory, the stupid backstory, of course. Is that John Laurinaitis made Teddy Long dress up like a beef eater, like one of the night Buckingham Palace.
Not
guards.
Like your mom?
And you're not allowed to speak
Your
mom. And just have to be
full.
Still, right? So Regal walks by and says something and goes into the hall down the hallway or whatever. And then Antonio Cesaro and Oksana...
Yeah.
Come out. And Oksana kind of basically does the whole, oh, Teddy used to be important, and this is my friend. I've known him for years. Isn't he strong? He wants to be a superstar, blah, blah, right? And then he goes in.
So he's a babyface. He's with Oksana, babyface, for now. And he's a former, or they're billing him as a former rugby player who wants to be a WWE superstar.
They're heels.
Oh, they're heels.
They're
okay.
Heels. Yeah,
whatever.
Because she was being a bitch to Teddy.
She was being a bitch. Okay.
Right?
Well, whatever. Either way, like I say, he's a former rugby player. My only issue with, I mean, I like it. I like him being there. I've been waiting for him to come up. He's ready.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see he's got his green card. It's good.
That's
good.
Finally, right?
Finally,
well, and
yeah.
That's maybe what he was going into John Laurinaitis' office
just to, confirm.
To talk about, right?
Just to confirm.
SmackDown, right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They were in England, too, so he didn't have to come over.
That's true.
So
that's
he
true.
May never be seen again.
He may never be seen again, yeah. So anyways, it's good. And if you guys don't know that, He was originally with the WWE a few years ago, and they fired him saying he didn't have his green card, and then he kept on working for ROH because apparently he did.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Laurinaitis fuck up.
What?
No.
That's
so. Anyway,
well, the first time for everything.
First time.
You know.
So, anyways, going on. My question on this is: where's Chris Hero, and what does this mean for Chris Hero? Because I like Claudio, I think Chris Hero's a little better.
Well,
but I think Claudio's very good though.
The thing is that, but Claudio. Got there first.
Yeah.
So Claudio Antonio Cesaro was in their system first. And so, again, rightly or wrongly, is that whether they've adapted to the WWE style, quote-unquote, or not, they can say, you know, he went down. Look how long Loki was down there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all these. So, and the fact is that Chris Hero is Cassius Ohno, right? KO. Still got the elbow deal.
Yeah.
But he knocks people out.
Yeah.
Similar gimmick, but again, this is Vince McMahon, for fuck's sakes. He's got to figure that he did this.
Yeah.
He's got to give him some time. So, Hero will be up. It's just,
I'm not looking again, we're talking about tag teams. We're talking about tag teams. I'd love to see them again because they just got great chemistry.
Yeah.
They were better together than they were apart in ROH, even though they tried them apart and they tried them feuding. They're just better together.
Sometimes people just are.
Though I do, like I said, I think that Hero is probably the slightly better of the two. I think they're both very good.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking, by the way, of low-key, just throw a little in Venom Wrestling in there. Dragon Gate USA, he's going to be coming up pretty soon in a match against El Generico, and I'm looking forward to watching that.
Sorry to hear that.
Should be fantastic.
Yeah. Can Generico, that's what we find out. Can Generico, when was the last time Generico wrestled an overrated hack?
I don't know. When is he going to wrestle an overrated hack? Because he's not going to in low-key.
Low-key, yeah.
No.
I never got on that low-key
awesome.
Bandwagon. Actually, I did it. He had a match against a quick little squash match against S.A. Rios on an episode of Jacked or Metal.
I thought that was his good.
His
pay-per-view match against Dolph Ziggler, the one when he finally cashed in his title shot in the WWE, was awesome. Yeah, I think he's horrendous. But anyways, I'm looking forward to seeing him against Dolph Jericho. But whatever.
He never floated my boat, as it were. I don't have anything against him. I just like to throw out the overrated hack because I know you're a fan.
Yeah.
Of overrated hacks.
Huh.
Like your mom.
My mom drives a cab?
Huh?
What?
I hacked your mom. It was overrated.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Ho!
Maybe we'll be talking to him.
Yes, speaking of your mom.
Yeah.
Ho!
All right.
Screw SA. What? We might be talking
to Ted DiBiase.
We may
speaking of my mom.
Everybody's got a price.
That's right.
Your mom's Sapphire. A lot of people don't know that. But you mentioned a little earlier about Steve Austin. If this is the if Daniel Bryan becomes that itch that he can scratch to get back.
Yeah.
One thing that looks like it's happening. We're talking about new talent initiatives with this. We've talked about Damian Sandow and Ryback and Tenzai. And
talk about Mick
and
Foley and what
guys.
He's doing.
And there's Mick Foley and Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
We mentioned about Dean Ambrose a few weeks ago, talking about he seems like he's...
they believe he's the most ready guy.
I was going to say, he's considered the most ready. It's not Damian Sandow. We were kind of mixed up with that for a bit.
Yeah.
But they believe Dean Ambrose is the most ready of everybody on that roster. And so it appears, anyway, that come... And probably it looks like Mick Foley at least advertised...
He's been writing blogs and such.
Well, he's advertised for the tour of Mexico in May.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just one of those, and he's been writing blogs, and they've had a couple of videos shot, over WrestleMania weekend and whatnot there. So,
this is really cool, Foley. This is the exact type of thing that Foley does so well.
Yeah.
Take somebody who's unknown and make them a star because he gets it.
Well,
and it's out of debut. But the problem is, can he go at all? I mean, I don't want to see him... have a physical anything.
The thing with Foley is that, that's the one question. But Foley's always taken that upper mid-card guy and kind of shoved him over.
Yeah.
Right? He's taken the Randy Orton and shoved him over, the Hunter and shoved him over, Edge and shoved him over.
Yeah.
But now what you're doing is you're taking someone from scratch.
Yeah.
And you're trying to present him as, I've beaten Mick Foley now, you know, I'm the shit, and I'm up there with the top echelon, is how this is going to presumably work.
Yeah.
Now, Foley, very great at storytelling. Hunter, with the real new talent initiative in terms of bringing guys on, along with Kevin Eck, is set to, I don't want to bring guys up unless you've got, some shit for them to do.
Like they obviously have with Claudio Castagnoli.
Well, they look like they've got something,
sort of.
sort of for Claudio, right?
Sort of.
And they've got vignettes for Damian.
Yeah.
They've got they had vignettes for Tenzai. That's a little bit different story because he was kind of just thrown in the mix.
Yeah.
But and they're doing the squishes with Ryback, and they've got what's his name there? The Ambrose.
Yeah.
It looks again him and Foley. So that to me is going to be very interesting because this is. I'm going to say I can't think of another time where I've seen this where an unknown guy comes in. I mean, they did that with John Laurinaitis' favorite signing, Zach Gowen, just being at ringside.
Well, Brock Lesnar came
over,
in,
right?
But didn't quite have somebody at this level right away, did he? I mean, who
Hardys,
he working with?
The Hardys.
Brock Lesnar and the Hardys?
The Hardys. The Hardys was his first. The first thing he did was he come out.
I remember him.
And then he beat the Hardys in a handicap.
Bubba Ray, Bully Ray, when he was a singles guy on the team. That was very early on.
Yeah, and Rob Van Dam and the King of the Ring.
Yeah.
And then he was off to the Rock.
But still
right?
Not quite at this level. Like I say, it's a question of whether or not people, A, remember that Mick Foley was once a superstar and is dangerous because he's been presented poorly lately, and B, can he actually look dangerous and has he got anything in him? I think if it's him booking it, I trust it. If it's him performing in it on the mic, I trust it. If it's him wrestling, I'm worried.
Well, I mean, eventually he will,
and that's the problem.
And I mean, I don't know that it's a problem necessarily. It's a matter of how well, because you can get it to a point where it's verbal, and it's got to get blown off in the ring.
Yeah.
But if it gets blown off in the ring, like Ambrose kills him, it's not so bad.
No, I guess.
You know? So you could do it that way.
But the thing is,
I agree with you, though, that Foley can't go.
To some degree, Foley has been Teflon, because Foley, due to the fact that he has such great mic skills, even though he would lose and hasn't really won a lot, you know, except for that great TNA World title win over Sting, but let's forget that. He hasn't really won a lot, so because he's always been so good on the mic, he can lose and he can come back and get over again. But to me, if he goes in against a guy who's brand new and loses and puts this guy over, that's the last one. I don't know that he can do this again. This could be very well the real last thing we see Foley do, so I hope it comes across well.
Well, yeah. I mean, but you talk about, like, what was the last WWE match that Foley had?
I'm not so sure it wasn't against Flair.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I remember him getting beaten up by Edge.
Yeah, but that wasn't a match.
On his way out, just before the Hell in a Cell. No, that wasn't a match. But that's the thing. I can't think of his last.
Well, I mean, wasn't he in the Royal Rumble? You want to count that?
No.
His real match.
Yeah, one-on-one.
Real match, I think it might have been. I think it might have been Ric Flair.
Yeah, and on the ECW or around that when they were doing the 2 out of 3 and the hardcore.
Yeah, that's it.
So I mean, and so what was that? 2007.
Sure.
I mean, so 5 years.
Yeah.
So it's when you talk. I mean, it's going to take some video packages.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Mick Foley, but do they know Mick Foley?
They know Mick. Right now, they know Mick Foley, who is Santa Claus.
You don't know Mick Foley.
Actually, I've gotten to know Mick Foley pretty well, I think.
No. You think, Mo? You think you know Mick Foley?
Woo!
You don't know Mick Foley.
That reminds me, we have a wicked guest on tonight. The leader, the biggest guest maybe in the history of the company?
I think it's maybe.
The leader of the Chain Gang is going to be on tonight on our show.
The C Nation leader.
Yeah.
But, that'll be a little bit later. But Foley, I don't know, like I said, it's tough. I mean, it's been 5 years. They're going to have to video package the shit out of him. I mean, when Bob Backlund come back, Bob Backlund was a champion before I was even watching wrestling, and Bob Backlund had come back, and they kind of didn't already. They showed me how Bob Backlund lost the title with the throw in the towel, but it wasn't until, I mean, I go online, I see how long Bob Backlund, like years later, really get an idea of how long Bob Backlund and what Bob.
Yeah, I think I knew. I think I knew a little bit from the magazines. In fact, I'm a couple years older than you, so I got to see him a little bit more. So I was a little more familiar with Backlund. But yeah, you're right.
But they didn't do so. I mean, they have to do a better job than that. Is all I'm kind of saying. Whereas with The other guys that come, like Bret Hart did a fabulous job with, yeah. right, of you know, saying who Bret Hart was
exactly.
because he'd been gone for
he'd been gone and off,
decade,
and they'd done everything
right?
they could
so,
to keep him, his name mentioned, right?
Well, that's right, yeah. Well, they did and they didn't, but that's debatable. But,
to some degree,
yeah, to some degree. But I don't know. I think this. I'm actually excited about this. I mean, there was some speculation as was this angle off.
Yeah.
You know, did he say, oh no? Because I told him the one thing I told him to do was to keep my family out of it, and he said no, and blah blah. Okay. Hello, work.
Yeah.
Same fellow, Kane Dewey. Anyone? He didn't
exactly.
give a fuck about involving his family. So
exactly.
He's, and in fact, half the reason he wants to do this is because he's got younger kids that haven't seen him, so they
yeah.
probably love to have their name mentioned, for God's sake.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That was my first, I remember reading that, I think it was on The Torch. Is the angle off? I'm like, fuck off. But,
wait, you mean The Torch for Marks?
I know. What?
That never happens.
What's that? So, I have one, I say I have three more WWF points or WWE points, and then
go
we
ahead.
Can, switch over to the TNA, and then maybe end with some mailbag questions
Sounds
as
good.
Well, because we've got a few of those. WrestleMania, I don't know, did we talk about this WrestleMania, 1.3 million?
Not really, no. I think we talked a little bit about it last week.
The domestic numbers.
The domestic numbers.
Yeah,
and now
yeah. They've actually, WWE's actually come out and,
most profitable.
And touted the most profitable WrestleMania, which, I mean, of course, that was going to be, that was fairly presumed, I guess, for lack of a better word. So,
but it is a more of a success, though, than many people assumed. And don't get me wrong, the final numbers aren't still in. But they have touted it that it's made more money than Trump did.
Well, I mean, I got an email from WWE here saying WrestleMania set a record of 1.3 million pay-per-view buys worldwide.
It
was seen by more than 5 million fans in 105 countries.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, they're basically going on record saying that 1.3 is there. So they're touting it as the biggest WrestleMania then buy wise of all time. Then.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know, that brings us then. Did you have any thoughts on that? I guess.
Well, yeah.
We talked a little bit about it last week.
Yeah, one of my thoughts is kind of simple. We talk about John Sim. Yeah, one of my thoughts is kind of simple. You fuckface. But anyways, we talk about John Cena and kind of his place in history sometimes, and you have compared him many times in the past to you said he's Shawn Michaels. He's the biggest star of his era, but he's not going to go down as the biggest star. And you know what? It really kind of speaks to me. Like, this is John Cena, and this is what he could draw with The Rock, despite having to live through this booking regime for the last several years, not getting his character, not building him up to being as big a star as he could have.
Yeah.
Maybe he has more charisma, more everything than we ever give him credit for. Maybe, in fact, the only reason he's not going to go down at The Rock's level or Austin's level is because of the company around him. Maybe he, you know, I mean, this really, to me, speaks well of him. But it also speaks, I mean, it also speaks, like, can you just imagine how much money could this guy have drawn if he had had a really good booking committee around him for the last several years?
Yeah. Well, no, that's right. And I look at, I mean, part of that as well, though, I look a lot of that when we talk about the buys. And again, you mentioned Brian Alvarez, and I think he mentioned this as well.
Who?
Singapore
Daily.
The fact that The Rock is actually really, really huge in Europe. So when we talked about the, you know, say whatever it was, the 700,000 domestic buys,
yeah.
You know, overseas is the market that had been kind of lagging as well. But The Rock is just huge in Europe.
Yeah.
So that would make presumably a big...
600,000, that's why they did 600,000 or so over there.
Well, that's, I would almost attribute that solely to The Rock.
Solely to The Rock.
And Rock and WrestleMania. The name and the
Rock.
Rock
and WrestleMania. But I just think, it really just makes me think John Cena's not going to go down. Now, maybe he will after this. Maybe after this, the people will put him fourth or fifth up behind. Maybe right now he's, after this, with the biggest WrestleMania and him headlining, maybe you say he's behind Austin, Rockin', and Hogan, San Martino maybe, like he's number five, number six.
That's tough. That's tough because, the fact that the company is so much bigger now because of, Rock and Austin and Hunter and Foley and I mean, because of that Attitude Era, The business, I mean, initial public offering, everything's so much bigger now.
Yeah.
That, you know, Cena is really sort of reaping those rewards. And I don't know that...
Yeah, but he's reaping those rewards despite horrible booking. So, again, it kind of is like you give him a bump for that, but you give him a bump plus for the company,
okay.
A bump down for the booking, and you just kind of even it out, perhaps.
Here's the question. It's a few years apart, but I'll just use this as an example. Presume that they're the same age or somewhat at the same time. But John Cena, the prototype, I don't know, let's just say, breaks his back, is paralyzed, and his career ends in Ohio Valley Wrestling, right?
Uh-huh.
But Ken Anderson, okay, comes in, and they bring Ken Anderson in, and whatever, they take, Stephanie takes a liking to Ken Anderson in 2003. Does Ken Anderson reap the rewards without being an idiot that Ken Anderson is?
No.
But is there something about John Cena?
There is something about John Cena
that's contributed to this.
Because you look at a Batista, and Batista became a big star, but was not and could not have been a star on the same level as Cena, who came around at the same time, despite getting early on a better push and a similar push later on.
Okay.
No, there is something there.
I'm just throwing that question out there. I'm not accusing anything. I'm just asking.
The guy who could have been the guy who could have made more money.
The guy that could have been the guy that could have made more money.
Yes, that guy. You talk about Anderson being an idiot. The guy who could have actually done more than Cena in the exact same situation was Jeff Hardy. If Jeff Hardy wasn't an idiot.
Yes.
He's the guy. He's the guy who would have been even bigger than Cena. But I think. But he's the only guy I could think of.
What about...
That's come along.
Yeah, I guess. I guess so. That's come along. I mean, in that time...
In that time frame.
Well, Christian.
No, not at that level.
Yeah.
Edge wasn't at that level either, right?
No, I'm just... Yeah. So, okay, well, there's something about...
there is something.
Mary. Cena. That... I think you do put him ahead of Shawn and Bret in terms of that...
Backlund, Flair.
Well, Backlund, I'm kind of have...
Yeah.
Down at the bottom. But, I mean, I think that you do put them underneath those upper echelons, the Rock, the Rock, the Hogan, the
You Austin. Do, but he's getting closer.
Well,
I think the only reason I don't have him there, as far as being a draw, I think he pretty much is almost there already. The reason I don't have him there is because I don't think... The difference is, in 2000, if I had walked down the street and took 100 people and said, do you know who The Rock is, or do you know who Steve Austin is, they still would have known, whereas it's still just wrestling fans that know John Cena.
The thing is, you ask...
He doesn't have that crossover appeal that Hulk Hogan had.
The thing is, if you walk down...
Or even San Martino had in his era.
10 years ago, you walk down the street, you say, yeah, do you know who The Rock is, and probably 70% of them would say yes, right?
Exactly.
Now, what you do is you go online and you say, do you download John Cena? And they say, yes, I watch him on YouTube. So that's the difference.
That's it.
That's
the difference.
That's the absolute difference.
Yeah.
I was mocking you.
Yeah.
Anyway, but
You're
I think
such
that...
an ass one.
But I don't know.
I'm going to blog that out.
The
I'm going to blog out the numbers so you can see them. I'm going to put them down for
see?
You.
See? Good. Good. I need to read them. But the thing is...
You need somebody to read them, too.
With... Maybe. Is it in Arabic?
Go on. What else are you going to talk about?
I was just going to say that I think that until Cena main events or is on top of the business when the business is considered cool, I guess, is popular, right?
Yeah.
That's when he can go... So the next guy that's on top at that time is the guy that goes in with the Hogan and the Rock.
I agree, but you know what? Like I say, I mean, if you outdrew Trump, you're getting closer. You know, you're getting closer. So.
Well, but again, does he do that?
And maybe, you know what, he might already be that guy if he hadn't had this, like I say, this booking committee.
But I don't buy that. See, I don't buy that getting closer because, again, he headlined with the Rock. Who is that top three guy?
That's true, but if it had been Randy Orton headlining the Rock, it wouldn't have been at this level.
No, because Cena is the face of the company right now.
Yeah.
Okay, if if in 1996, let's say, 3 years later, Hogan had come back to WWF and fought Bret Hart, that would have been your similar situation.
Yeah, and it would have been big.
You know,
right.
And that would have been big. They were trying to book that for that SummerSlam of 93.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have been as big because not as much time had passed, right?
No. It's like in 97.
Hogan would have had to take a few years off, come back, and so that would have been the sort of that.
Yeah, only in like 1997, 1998, somewhere around 98, 99, there was some company that could have put the two of them together for a big match.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
That would have been great.
It's unfortunate. There was that opportunity.
Never happened.
Just never had that chance.
Never happened. Well, they should have teamed together, actually, is what should have happened.
Yeah, that.
Well, not really teamed. Just if Brett was Hogan's lackey for a while, that would have been better.
Yeah. Or they could have teamed together, you know, one time on a main event on a Nitro or something. Like, that would have been good.
That would have been
good. That's a smart idea.
Against Sting and the Ultimate Warrior. That would have been awesome.
Blade Runner.
So,
WCW.
Well, we're talking about big time WrestleMania and that happening next year in pencil right now.
Mm-hmm.
Rock and Brock
is
the match that looks to be the
well, one thing we've seen is we are not seeing a 1 year build. We might see a 1 year storyline, a 1 year idea, and a build to it, but we're not seeing a 1 year build.
I don't know that.
Come to me in January and we'll talk about what they're going to do for Mania.
Well, yeah, that's just it. And but the thing is, and I'll just throw this out there, and it's two totally different years and years and years apart here, right? We're years apart, 25 almost years apart. But you talk about there's not going to be a 1 year build. Well, there's not going to be a 1 year announcement of the match.
No,
right?
A 1 year storyline, perhaps.
Perhaps. Yeah. The Mega Powers exploding was a one-year build.
Perhaps. But I think the difference was there was no way they were going away from that. I think there was a couple points where they thought about it, but there was no way they were going away from
it. No, that's right. That's right.
This one, I think there's a really good chance they'll go away from it. We'll see how Brock does. We'll see who else gets over. There'd be so much. Television was so much more controlled back then.
Yeah.
There was so much. They taped so many less shows. They had so many less pay-per-view events. It was a very different animal.
I'll give you an example. I was watching, when you got here again, shockingly, I was watching old wrestling.
That never happens.
I know. And I was watching.
And then we watched the most awful angle ever.
We did.
Ape commentary. Give a shout out to that great show.
One of the most awful guests ever, China. And Danny Doring. But actually, Danny Doring is entertaining.
No, he's awesome.
But,
we're going to have him on the show.
We do have him on the show.
Yeah.
But, 1988, I remember watching this, and what I was watching was Superstars 1988 Year in Review, WWF Superstars. So they're just kind of going through the angles and such. And one of the angles that they went through was on the Brother Love show.
Yeah.
Was Bad News Brown. And he's talking about how, why are you protecting Randy Savage from me? Why aren't you giving him matches? Why are you protecting him? Are you having him duck me?
Yeah.
Is Elizabeth doing some favors for you? Is that why you're doing a favor for Macho Man? Because Elizabeth is doing favors for you. And Jack Tunney just gets mad.
Yeah.
And, like, starts poking Bad News Brown. And going, you listen here. And Bad News Brown grabs Tunney, like, by the throat and, like, slams him down. He's like, no, you listen here. And, of course, they're piping in the booze.
Yeah.
And that would have got a huge pop.
Babyface reaction.
Oh, my God. And so that I actually started to think about that in comparison to the London SmackDown as well.
Where they're not as controlled.
The booze and everything, they were piped in and controlled. But in 1988, it never even dawned on me, right?
Yeah.
And that was the first thing that dawned on me now is, oh, yeah, I bet you that got a huge pop. And that, you know, they've edited out.
Mom got a huge pop.
Huh?
Yeah. Well, I've been saving up.
Yeah, doing favors for Jack Tunney. But the thing is, that similar situation, so we're talking about the TV being more controlled and that they wouldn't deviate from the plan, it's because they didn't allow anybody to get over or other baby feet come in. They don't do that, obviously, especially with one live show now.
Exactly.
They don't do that.
No.
So other things can kind of creep in. So So it just, and it's not better, it's not worse, it's just different.
It's very different.
You know?
It's very
and different. So I think with Rock involved, if he says, I want Brock, you're going to have a pretty damn good reason not to give him Brock. Right?
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. We'll see how that goes. I mean, there is some talk now that since it did so well, they could come back with Rock and Cena again.
Rock, Cena, too, yeah.
So, I mean there's a lot. I think there's a lot of stuff on the table. Like you said, we'll see January.
Twice in a lifetime.
We'll know. Until basically right now what you have is you're hoping for good entertainment till SummerSlam, and then after SummerSlam, you're hoping that you don't have too much of a lull until you get to January.
You're hoping football sucks is what you're doing.
Yeah.
But, it doesn't really. We'll see, because it'll just be a matter of... The big thing with football, and it happens every year, is that, once Monday Night Football starts, then all the people that watch Raw on YouTube start watching Monday Night Football on YouTube, and so it really eats into that audience.
Yeah, it really does. Like, this year, for instance, when they were going up against Monday Night Football, they were doing about a 3.1, and now that Monday Night Football is gone, they're doing about a 3.1.
Yeah, exactly,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's the thing.
Well,
really
eats into it.
Well, 3.1 what?
3.1 rating.
Oh, a rating.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just said 3.1 people on YouTube.
No, no. There's 3.1 people on your mom.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. You're counting as 0.1 now, are you?
All right. Move on. What else have you got on that list so we can get onto some other shit?
Those erectile elongation pills are working.
Jake the Snake Roberts.
Ruin my winning, yeah. Well, I thought the last thing I wanted to do is run down you. No. Go
we do
through
that every show.
Yes, that's true. That's true. The Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
Is this.
This is our go-home show for it because it taped on Sunday night before Monday. And we're going to do our damnedest to get a show up next week. There's a lot going on that weekend. So we'll do our damnedest to get a show up that night after Extreme Rules.
That's right. That's right. We'll get there. But first thing we'll do with Brock and Cena, we talked about it's an Extreme Rules match, which means no count out and no disqualification. So presumably Brock has to win.
Yeah.
The fact
I don't think Brock has to win. I think Brock can lose, but then destroy him post-match. When he's celebrating. Just completely ruin him when he's celebrating. Just as a heel move.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could work. I think what's interesting about this is it's an Extreme Rules match. And if you look at John Cena, sure, he's been in his Extreme Rules matches and different hardcore matches and gimmick matches over the years. Think of the craziest bump John Cena ever took. What is it?
Oh.
Yeah, you can't think of one, really.
Well, I mean, didn't he...
There was a time he went through the light thing, that Big Show threw through that light thing, but that was gimmicked, and it looked cool.
Yeah.
It was sort of a bump. But my point is, he's not really a big bumper.
Did Edge throw him through a bunch of tables, or did Edge go through the tables?
Edge went through the tables.
Okay.
So the point is, John Cena, he's a safe worker. He's not a big bump taker.
Right.
And you get this Extreme Rules match with Brock Lesnar, who I don't expect to take a lot of bumps. But it'll be interesting to see what kind of physical pain Brock is willing to go through for the art, so to speak, for the match or for the company.
That's true.
So that's what I'm looking for. We'll see how dedicated Brock is here.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Cena's going to try out his new move, the diverticulitis lock.
Mm.
So that could play into it.
Yeah, I seriously hope he stays healthy.
We don't know.
Yeah.
But you could go either way. We had the Tenzai getting a win as well. So, I mean, there's a lot. Again, the nice part about this match, you're right. I mean, Cena could win. Lesnar could destroy him after the fact. I don't see Lesnar losing his debut match. I mean, I also look at it a little bit of an investment.
No, here. I don't see him losing either. My big question is, is it competitive or does he destroy him?
Yeah. Well, I think it's competitive. I mean, this is Super Cena we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is competitive.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. So, I mean, the big thing is that he's Superman Cena. Does Brock Lesnar beat him to the point where he's Christopher Reeve?
Or, yeah, I mean, is it going to be he can't get up anymore, he can't fight, the ref calls
like Christopher Reeve.
Yeah. Christopher Reeve?
Mm-hmm. Christa Marie.
Christa Marie.
I heard it with your mom.
Yeah.
Kinky three-way.
Christa Marie.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And that Donna Marie's sister?
Please, welcome to the stage.
Christa Marie.
Christa Marie.
Yeah. Is she an exhibitionist?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. A test.
Test. This is a test.
You need a test.
But, yes. itch. This is an itch. Stream rules, so I could see that going either way. I personally subscribe to the liking that Cena loses and has lost to two big opponents in a row and has to do a little soul searching, or Cena gets killed and actually has to be out for a while. And again, we talked about building that match up to Summer, the rematch to SummerSlam with that summer-long sort of story. So
sure.
I'm still a fan of doing something like that because they haven't done it in a while.
Sure.
Right? So also, two out of three falls, we've talked about this, how we both want to see Daniel Bryan win.
He just, not only do we want to see it, I mean,
he should. Yeah.
It's the right move.
I was going to say, this is one of those times where it kind of almost like CM Punk, where it matches up, where what we want is actually the right thing
to do. It is the right thing to do. Like I say, the only reason you're doing it is if you're going to play into the AJ storyline somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And build the chase, but I think you just give it to him.
I think that's the deal.
That's
and,
right, right.
And I mean, and Vince has never been a fan of the chase anyway.
No,
and rightfully so.
Yeah.
So, I, as I said, I see a quick first fall playing off their Mania match because I mean, again, two out of three falls. Although that being said, now that I get half of that sentence out, I mean, we're going through the other match on the card here: Kane and Randy Orton. Last Man Standing, I believe it is.
Yeah.
Or Falls Count Anywhere, I don't remember.
I don't know.
Anyway, they're having a fucking match.
Yeah, that's good.
It looks like Cody and...
We'll be ordering pizza during that match.
Yes, we will. Well, it's a night. If it stays nice like this, we'll be barbecuing again, which is what I was doing during their Mania match.
Yeah.
Looks like Cody and Cena, may, or Cody rather, and Show.
They should have Brock killed Kane, shouldn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere along the way, at some point. Yeah.
Brock killed Kane.
October, maybe?
Yeah. Brocktober?
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Brocktober. Killed the Halloween guy, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, because he lost to a guy named Kane.
Oh, Velasquez, yes. Yeah. That's true. Well, it should be a handicap match. It should be, like, Kane and...
And then after that, he can beat up a guy who's jacked up and fails drug tests.
Really? Yeah. Are you gonna be able to find someone like that?
I don't think. Well, then nobody fails it anymore. Nobody fails for steroids. It's been years since somebody failed.
Would they really rehire Harry Smith just to do that?
Yeah, no kid. He might be the last guy who failed for steroids.
Was it him or was it Dolph?
I don't remember Dolph failing for steroids.
Yeah, I think he did.
Okay. Either way, that'd be years ago.
Yes, it would. It actually. Right.
You might fail. You might fail for smoking fake pot.
Yes.
But you will not fail for steroids. No, yeah. Everybody in that company never takes it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Brock against Bobby Lashley, maybe.
Yeah.
Elevator liver enzymes on a pole match or something.
There you go.
But there is Great Khali, actually.
There is Great Khali, and Great Khali is only slightly less mobile than Alistair and Overeem.
And Mae Young.
Alistair, Overeem.
Mae Young. That was a great.
Or Alexander over.
That was a great tweet by Lance Storm when he tweeted that he was wondering who was more mobile,
Mae Young
or Great Khali in that segment. But but anyway, so that's we go to Kane and Orton, and again,
so
Orton obviously should win. But you said that
no.
A Mania, I just assume. Maybe
this
Cody
should be
and
this
Show.
Should be an injury angle where they're both gone forever.
It should. Well, not...
Maybe not Orton, but certainly Kane.
Yes. And Kane and Show and then Cody, I guess, probably, again?
Yeah.
But am I missing a match? Like, is that... I can't think of
it. Is Kelly taking on Beth?
I don't know. That may announce more tomorrow, but really, I only see... You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to WWE.com.
Why don't you just go to Wikipedia? They'd have it. You don't have to go to WWE.
That's true.
But you'll go to WWE.
I'm just saying Wikipedia, fuckhead.
Oh, okay. Good. Just go Extreme Rules 2012.
Extreme Rules.
This is fascinating radio again.
Well, it is. Well, you're on
there
it.
There you go.
It's going to suck. But,
So will the Kane versus Kane's on the cover.
Matches.
Matches. Oh, yeah, no, that's
it. Lesnar, Sheamus, Daniel Bryan. No, CM Punk and Chris Jericho in a Chicago street fight. That's the one that we're missing.
Oh, yeah, so the Randy Orton is the fall counts anywhere. So what's the difference between an Extreme Rules match and a Chicago street fight?
The name.
Good.
I believe a Chicago street fight, pinfalls count anywhere.
Oh, so what's the difference between pinfalls count anywhere match and
yeah,
Chicago street
I
fight?
I don't know, but...
Stupid.
I thought it was last minute, Terry, but no, it's falls count anywhere. So anyway, that's format. But so, I mean, this 2 out of 3, as much as the way I started on this tangent, is that with 2 out of 3 thinking that they do another 15-second brogue kick, they've got time to do 3 matches, essentially, because
that's
the 2 out of 3 fall is... You know, you do 3 of those, you really, that gives you 6 matches plus maybe 2, you know, put together. But how many were on Mania?
8 or 9?
Yeah, I was going to say. So, and now it's 4 hours, so they give an extra hour. So, if you do 6 or 7 matches.
I presume Kelly and Beth are.
Yeah,
you know.
But I mean, again, and Cody and Show, I mean, we haven't done that yet. Yeah. So, Ryback could come out and squash, or you could have, you know,
yeah.
Hornswoggle and the Funkasaurus
dance.
Do a dance thing, right? So
yeah. Who knows?
Who knows? But anyway, so that...
This is a one-match show.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great match, though.
Yeah.
But it's a one-match show.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
I know that a couple of the matches will be good. Like, I guess Sheamus and Bryan kind of is another...
I was going to say, that's kind of that
and, I mean, Orton. I think Orton and Punk will be good, but and especially in Chicago. But, you know, it really is a one-match show as far as... Why I want to see it.
Yeah, terms of the promotion and everything.
Yeah.
And again, they get 3 hours
that's
tomorrow.
That's fine.
3 hours tomorrow. And then a contract signing announced, and that's it.
And that should be good.
Speaking of WWE.
I predict another pull apart on that. It's kind of a thing, don't you think?
You know, the table may get flipped over. I know. Actually, they were showing on the YouTube, the WWE.com YouTube channel that I was on that earlier, and they had a... Because I clicked it. I wasn't on the channel. I just clicked the thing popped up because it said, watch some of the most memorable contract signings in WWE history. So I clicked on it, and it had a couple of CM Punk signings and Bret Hart and Yokozuna. It had... what other one did it have? Oh, the very end was just classic because it had the Hogan and Andre in like the Jack Tunney boardroom one.
Oh, yeah.
He's like,
yeah, I
sign the contract.
One.
If you're going to sign the contract, just sign the contract, brother.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh,
that awesome.
Classic. But, yeah, so that was, so they had some of those. So I expect it to go that way, essentially, is what I'm saying. But that's everything I had in the land of WWE.
Okay. Talk a little TNA.
Okay. And we're done.
Done. No, TNA, Open Fight Night. What do you think?
Open Fight Night. Well, brother, you see how it works, brother, is that they have fight nights, brother. And it works like this, brother. And, oh, my God. Apparently,
tell me about it, dude.
You know what? I have two...
Yes, brother.
Two things of two concepts of Open Fight Night.
What are they, dude?
One I liked and one I thought was good.
Okay.
Or one I didn't like and one I thought that was good.
Okay, let's go.
The one that Hogan talked about didn't really, I was kind of like, well, that seems convoluted.
What?
And then I read it on the screen and I'm like, oh, I like that.
What? Get to it, for fuck's sake.
Hogan didn't explain it very
well. No, Hogan didn't explain it very well.
So, what do they got? They've got a couple of things here. The TV title... Devon's TV title
every single week is going to
be defended every
great.
Impact.
That's great. So,
great.
I mean, you keep it on Devon for about 4 or 5 weeks, and then you put it onto a great worker who's going to have great matches every single week. You put it onto an Austin Aries at that point or something like that.
Something like that. You can, exactly. And they didn't go this far, but, I mean...
Should be 15-minute time limit?
Yeah,
is that
I was going to say.
That's
my thing. Is I mean, I remember very fondly the Steven Regal, you know... TV time limit to the point where it got mundane and redundant for a while because I remember sitting there waiting going, oh, this again, when they're like 5 minutes left. I'm going, okay, 3, 2, 1, no. But anyway, but they was...
But if you have the right worker out there and the right people, I think it'll be good. And it doesn't have to go 15 minutes every time, but you just
No,
that's
the thing,
right?
But you have that in your back pocket to be able to pull out when
the
heel...
And if a couple times it goes 15 minutes and they have a couple draws in a row on TV, that's when the third one's on pay-per-view and it's a half hour or full hour or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
That's it. It's simple booking, and I like it. I like it.
Yeah. So that's and
I like Devon, so let him have a little run with it and then transition to a really great worker.
Yeah, Robbie E.
Then transition to AJ Styles... Christopher Daniels.
AJ Styles would be the guy, actually, yeah. And then, there's, okay, and then this is where Hogan kind of got a little convoluted, is that open fight night, anybody can challenge anybody, and they have to accept.
Okay, so what that is they're going to bring in new people.
No, this is different.
No. That's the fuck up.
Okay.
That is the gimmick. The gimmick is not that anybody in the roster can challenge anybody else and they have to accept. The gimmick is the new people that come in that are trying to earn a contract can challenge anybody on the roster, and that person must accept. So the new people have opportunity to challenge and get the job against anybody. The established people have to challenge and give those people a shot.
And there'll be three judges.
That's the part that's Hogan. Yeah, that part I don't like.
Why?
Just have the match. But you know what? It's hey, you know what? Even if he loses, he impresses us enough, he can bring him in. I guess it depends on who the judges are.
Oh, who do you think they should be?
Who should they be?
Yeah.
I haven't heard who. Do they know who they're going to be yet?
I don't know, but who should they be?
Who should they be? I'm trying to think of Bob Backlund.
Okay.
Brian Knobbs. Jimmy Hart and Hulk Hogan.
We'll see, yeah, and
and Bruce Beefcake.
The thing is,
Bruce Beefcake threw up Backlund. Bruce Beefcake, Jimmy Hart, Brian Knobbs, and Hulk Hogan.
Yes, and Danny Bonaducci could challenge anybody to a match. The thing is, I don't see Jimmy Hart only because... I mean, he was just on the Blast of the Past. He's got the Legends thing, and he's going to be, you know, on Legends House in, you know, in 2018 when that show's on TV. But it's so he's kind of tied in there. I just sort of think Ernest Miller hit me.
Is X-Pac working now in WWE?
He will go to TNA.
It's going to be a good spot for him.
Well,
Gary Lynn?
Yeah.
Tommy Dreamer?
Okay. Hogan. This is Hogan and Bischoff's thing, right? So, like, it's going to be... That's why I threw in Ernest Miller's name, because of Bischoff, right? You know, things like... I mean, Brian Knobbs. Yeah. I could see that.
And this is... Somehow, the person who challenges somebody is the person who breaks Crimson's streak, by the way. That's what you do there. That streak that hasn't gotten over.
Yeah, you maximize it
by having somebody come in and break it. But it's a great way to get... We're going to see new talent. We may get some new talent. Great way to introduce them. I like this. This is something... All of a sudden, you got a couple things. You got the TV title. You got this. And you got James Storm just being awesome. You got three things all of a sudden in that company that makes me go, you know what? You got some good shit there. Unfortunately, you also got a scorched earth. Or Bischoff... you know where Russo scorched the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's scorched the earth, nothing can grow.
Right.
And Hogan and Bischoff are pretty much the light in the mask, the gasoline there on top of it.
Right.
So, I mean, even if they do something good, it doesn't matter. This is a perfect time for another company to open up and actually challenge them and go head-to-head with them because right now they're vulnerable. And right now is the time when you actually could put them out of the way. And you know what the other thing is? WWE isn't on fire either. So WWE, you could make yourself a strong second place. I'm not saying you're ever going to challenge them. You can make yourself a strong second place, which TNA never has. But now's the perfect time for somebody to open up.
Though?
Well, that's the thing. It'd have to be a new company, I think.
No, but with who? I mean, you could have the greatest name of their company ever. Who the fuck's going to wrestle in it?
Some TNA guys, some guys we haven't seen.
Well, I know, but the
some
TNA guys
are WWE cast offs that we never really stuck
in
around.
TNA,
combination.
The guys in TNA are in TNA, so they got to leave. Like the thing is, if you're going to start a company, you got to have someone to start it.
But it doesn't matter.
Right?
It's the scorched earth. It's like the same thing. WWE when they got hold of WCW property, they were going to start a Nitro, and then they realized that the property was damaged to the point.
Right.
But they couldn't restart it. And I disagree with that.
Right.
But that was the idea. That's the same idea with TNA. It's just so damaged right now that somebody can take them on, is what I'm saying. And I don't think it can get back up because it is the scorched earth. The reputation is just – even if they're doing something good, I think it would be easier to start from scratch and build up and overtake them than it would be to build them back up.
I don't know. Again, because anything can happen, as they say. I mean, in you know, he fell on his ass. He fell on his fucking ass.
Arse.
Yeah, arse.
There you go.
That was the fall of 1993.
Sure.
Right? Fast forward 3 years later, they're on top of the world.
Very different, I think.
No, yeah, but all I'm saying is anything can happen in terms of, but when you're talking about, like, the Shock
anything
Master,
could happen
the
in the TNA.
Yeah, well, anything could happen to TNA in that...
Shockmaster wasn't seen by enough people to be as damaging as you think. It's funny. It's a botchermania
thing. Who the fuck is watching TNA? That's the thing. All I'm saying is that WCW...
It did, but what I'm saying is that...
WCW sucked a cock,
yeah,
and
but,
no one was
you know,
watching
nobody,
it in
I would say, no, that's not true. 1993, so they had some people watching, but the thing is, their base hadn't turned away from them yet. They still had a strong base. I mean, they were still doing 2-1s, 2-2s ratings on Saturday night, WCW Saturday
TNA's
night.
TNA's base hasn't changed either.
But it's starting to. If they're going down to a .92 like this last week.
How many million viewers? I don't know what that viewer... Exactly, again, I was...
And don't get me wrong, there's some YouTube viewers.
Are there?
Oh. But the point is, though, is that they can't grow. WCW, where it's up and down, growing or falling or rising or falling... From 1985 to 1993, at different points, TNA is, like I say, it's scorched earth.
I don't think that, I mean,
their TNA's base is...
It doesn't look good, but I've seen, I don't discount it until they close the doors.
Well, like I say, I really believe it'd be easier to start a new company and overtake them than it would be to build them back up. Like, that's my opinion on that. I think the product brand name has just been destroyed to that point. And remember, keep in mind, WCW had just changed their name in 1993, you know? And the Shockmaster happens. And keep in mind, they were able to come in and make major...
In 1993?
Well, I guess it was 1991 they changed their name, but still, a year and a half.
91? I thought it was 89 for some reason.
You know what? Was it?
89, 90, maybe somewhere around there.
Okay, whatever. Whatever. Okay. The point is I'm going to get to is that they were able to come in, though, and take major stars. They were able to take the equivalent of Randy Orton
right.
You know, plus they were able to have production values that actually looked great. They had a large enough core and fan base
right.
in their area that they could actually put on shows that looked like they were in large crowds and who were into the show because they actually had a big enough fan base still. And then they had the money to come in for great production value.
Let's stop.
And
let's
they don't.
The
this, there's a
there.
Lot of things. There's a lot of things that are. Well, yeah.
Until Nitro started in '95, okay. There and in the fall, late '95, they were at Center Stage.
They were at Center Stage.
They were essentially at Universal.
That's true.
Okay, and I mean, again, you talk about.
But when they started Nitro, they're actually able to put on.
Yes, they packed them all of America for free, and then.
But you know what?
TNA couldn't
even do that. That's the thing. TNA couldn't even do that.
That's you might be right, and that's. But again, that's the little bit of the landscape, and I just think that there's less wrestling fans in general.
That's true.
But I don't know that TNA's base has changed. I mean,
it's not so much that their base has changed. It's that nobody ever knew will come to their base. Whereas I didn't ever have that feeling with WCW.
I didn't
because I looked at the other thing is while we're talking about them sucking ass. Meanwhile, you have the look at the talent in the WWE Royal Rumble in 1993, 1994 as well.
Right.
Like it's so the competition wasn't exactly setting the world on fire either. Their competition. Now is really, really established. That's another thing that the TNA has going
well,
against them. That WCW didn't have that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, it didn't take much for WWF to be, you know, almost on the brink of going out of business.
Exactly.
And now, you know, they're here forever.
WCW could essentially look like a bigger show than WWF pretty quickly because WWF was on a low ebb. TNA can't do that. Like I said, I think somebody could come along though and look like a bigger show. I guess it's time. I think if you were one of the other top 25 cable stations and you wanted to try and take out TNA and see if you can get those ratings, because those are still solid ratings they're doing a 1.0 or whatever. If they're doing that for Spike TV, that's still a solid rating. For most cable stations, that's still a solid rating.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think right now is a great time for somebody to take them on.
Yeah.
But you know what? That said, all of a sudden, I don't know if Open Fight Night isn't every month, but I know what.
Once a month.
Yeah, I'm absolutely watching it. This is something TNA has to be coming back for a show, and it's been a while since I've even tried that.
Yeah. I look at the cost benefit analysis of starting a new company, and it's not there. But The thing with...
Well, it really comes down to what's more valuable, a damaged brand name or a brand name with no name recognition?
What?
Or a brand name that's extremely damaged. And that's
a brand name that's extremely damaged that has television.
Yeah, that is a big deal.
You know, and that's
the
thing. Because, I mean, Ring of Honor's there, right?
Yeah.
And it's not damaged necessarily, but, I mean... It's about
when I say somebody comes in, they have to look as good or better than TNA, their production values. And ROH doesn't. Plus, Sinclair is just not a big enough market, a big enough thing.
They're bigger, but they're not big enough.
They're not big enough to take on. Yeah. So.
But anyway, that's...
So that's my TNA talk, essentially, unless you have something
well,
else.
Well, I just... They've got you coming back. I just...
James Storm is awesome. James Storm and Daniel Bryan are the two best things in wrestling right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And but I just, when you're talking about Open Fight Night, I'll be curious to know when the first one is, because they said they're going to do one once a month. I'll be curious to know, because it airs on Thursday, and we'll do the show on Sunday, because I'll be very curious as to your thoughts on them fucking it up.
Well, you know what? Russo isn't there.
Yeah,
I still don't have a lot of confidence, but I have a little more.
This concept, I don't think they're gonna. I think it'll take at least 4 months to fuck it up. To be honest,
shows.
Yeah, four.
Well, you know what? The thing is, who they bring in this first one, they better bring in a really good talent.
Well, that's just it, right? Is who do they get that's
and a fresh talent, a fresh new talent.
Yeah, and who's and my, you know what, my, when I say fuck it up,
yeah,
My first thought, my first person that they're going to bring in is that Jesse Godhurst or whatever, the big brother guy that's in Ohio Valley
that's not
even near ready.
That's not the good guy.
But
you're right. If they do that, then they've already fucked it up.
That's who I picture doing
it. Who you have to bring is somebody who comes in and really impresses the crowd.
Yeah.
And really, and the first guy who tries out should get the job.
Yes,
the second guy who tries out should not get the job. The third guy who tries out should be a returning star, a Sanjay Dutt or someone like that.
Yeah.
So that's how you do it.
And eventually all three guys will do the job to Hogan.
That's very possible.
But, no, I said that Jesse Godhurst, that honestly, that's like, I'm almost like, just without even knowing that 75%, I'm leaning that he's the first guy.
Yeah, that scares me. That's a terrible choice.
But that's just... the confidence I have in this place.
Yeah, that's
but,
true.
You're right, though. But Sanjay Dutt to come back, you know, even a Val Venus.
Yeah, anybody.
You know,
yeah.
Val Venus, actually. Val Venus is the guy, the second guy I have, that comes in and doesn't get it.
That's fine.
Or like a Brother Runt or something
like that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right? Somebody that's established that doesn't get the contract.
Doesn't get it.
Is
yeah.
how I would, yeah.
So that's how you do it, though. I mean, there's a lot of ways to do it, and actually could do something good here. Okay, and they really need to freshen up the talent roster. So that's great.
Do.
So, you got anything else, or are we going to move on to some email stuff?
Bobby Roode has shaved his head.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. That's all I know about TNA.
Yeah.
So that's our TNA talk.
Yeah. That's probably as much as we did combined over the last, since we still came back from our hiatus here in, what, February or whatever.
You know what, I'll just expound upon that talk because it's something that we didn't get to with that open challenge or open fight night.
Mm-hmm.
There's all of Shimmer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because we're neglecting the women there.
Yeah, why
so
not?
So there's, you know, like there's a Sarah Del Rey or you know, cheerleader Melissa type thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
There,
they come in too.
But yeah.
Why wouldn't they?
So that's, I mean, I just think,
and I hope
know,
it's not just one person per show. I hope they can have two or three people challenge per show.
Yeah, I don't know what
not
that,
too many, not eight, and no more than three, preferably one, sometimes two, maybe occasionally three, but, you know, just, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe two at the most, I would say. Like, you know, this one's going to be.
And you could even have a guy like that Jesse Goddard guy come in, fail, and this company say he's not ready, and have somebody come in who personally goes, a Ric Flair come in and go, you're not ready, but under my tutelage, you're going to get ready.
That's true.
You know? So he's the guy who brings him in and hires him and trains him for another month or so and then re-debuts him.
You know what I do with that, actually, is just to tweak it, is that Jesse Goddard, comes in, fails, doesn't get it, and he said, I'm going to take you under my wing and under my tutelage, you're going to go straight to the top, except for it's Garrett Bischoff.
Sure.
That says
that. That's fine.
Not Flair.
Oh, Garrett Bischoff says that, or they do that with Garrett Bischoff?
So Garrett Bischoff is going to train Jesse Goddard, yes.
Oh, shit. All right. Okay, moving on from TNA. So we've got an email.
Far away, yes. Well, actually, why don't I...
I know I do. I have a couple.
Well, let me just go to this one here, because the question that come for us from Davey.
Oh, Davey.
Yes, Davey asked, with Garrett Bischoff being on the scene, struck his question, who is the most successful son of a promoter?
Bret Hart. Doesn't it start and end with Bret Hart?
Bret Hart is...
So the thing is, Bret Hart got to the top of his card in Calgary, but you know what? He reached farther here in Calgary already than his brothers. Not like every brother was getting to be the North American Heavyweight Championship in the Stampede Wrestling territory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Keith Hart didn't get it or whatever. I don't think Bruce even got it. He got to the Commonwealth Light Heavyweight Championship.
That's right, yeah.
But Owen. Owen and Bret were the two, but Owen came along so many years later.
Yeah.
It was a very different thing. So, I mean, you look at Bret, he got it there, and he deserved it, because he was that good already.
He was,
and then he moved on to someplace else, and without anybody's help, despite actually being the son of a promoter, because in some ways it was a hindrance when he started,
mm-hmm.
he managed to get to the top. He became one of the biggest stars in the industry, one of the top 50 stars in the history of the industry, and one of the top probably 10 workers in the history of the industry. So to me, that's it. Like, I don't know where else you would go.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, Bret Hart's the obvious. I mean, there's some other, Kerry Von Erich.
Sure.
Let's say had a successful.
But who was it? David Von Erich, who was originally skated to.
He was the one before he killed himself in Japan.
He was the one who was going to be the bigger star than Kerry.
That's right.
They really thought he was the guy.
Yeah, he was the one that was going to win the title.
Yeah.
The NWA title for Flair, but instead Kerry got it in. I think it was the David
Hart Memorial Show.
Memorial Show. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
I said David Hart.
You did. He's still alive.
Yeah.
Manama Abrakas.
Yes.
But Tully Blanchard.
Tully Blanchard.
You
sure.
know, maybe not under his father.
Shane McMahon.
Well, Shane McMahon. Yeah. No, Shane McMahon. I mean,
I'm kidding.
But in terms of
he was a star. He was a star in a big
personality.
Era.
Yeah, he was a star in a big era. Yeah. I mean, yeah,
he had charisma.
Yeah, the lesser knowns in terms of Eric Watts and
exactly.
the one that you kind of point at and stick.
I'm sure there's some.
Brian Christopher.
No. In Mexico, would there have been a son of a promoter who did really well there? I'm sure there is. I just
probably.
Can't think of it.
El Hijo del something.
But it was very common for a lot of son of promoters to, you know, they trusted them and family members to get a big push. It wasn't uncommon.
No.
But Bret Hart is, if you're going to ask me, it starts and ends with Bret Hart.
Yeah. How about the opposite then? What would be the worst?
Well, Eric Watts would be up there.
Yeah. Eric Watts and Garrett Bischoff are...
It's too early for me to kind of throw Eric Bischoff Garrett Bischoff under the bus that badly.
Yeah.
Personally. Wow. But, it's too early for me, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bruce Hart.
Bruce Hart was probably, no. I mean, Bruce Hart's still better than, you know.
Well, than Eric Watts, yeah.
And or Keith.
You're right, Keith. Ross wasn't that good either.
Ross was really not a wrestler. No. No, he really wasn't ever. So, I mean, you could look at that, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that answers that question.
I feel like that's the type of question with more preparation. I probably could think of some more, do some better. But really off the top of my head, that's where I go with it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, like I said, I've kind of been...
You know, because it's really easy in my head to try and go, okay, that guy, and then go, wait, no, he's not second. He's a second generation or third generation wrestler. He's not son of a promoter. It's easy to get those things confused. So,
well, I look at, I mean, I was just kind of doing in my head, kind of the Barnett and not no son, what about Greg Gagne?
Yeah.
Not in terms of work rate, but, got a push as well.
Sure, Greg Gagne. I'd probably put him in the worst category, but hey.
I would definitely put him
in the
worst.
You know what? I can't remember. There was one Von Erich. who was terrible.
The tiny one?
Yeah, who should go in that worst category. Never should have been in the ring. I just can't remember. I think it might be Chris Von Erich.
What about Lance Von Erich?
I don't remember. Wasn't he the fake cousin or something?
Yeah, he was the Vance and Coy.
Yeah.
But
no, I think it was Chris Von Erich. Was that it?
Yeah, maybe.
I think it might have been the tiny one. He never should have even been in the ring. So.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's passed on now.
He has. Von Erich. Huh.
Yeah.
But I think that I put Greg Gagne almost in the middle of the pack in that he got almost like Shane. He gets in that same Shane McMahon kind of category where, you know, bad.
Shane McMahon was better than Stephanie, right?
Yes.
Hey, Stephanie.
Well, Stephanie isn't one of the best sons of a promoter.
No?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, no. It's son-in-laws of a promoter.
I'm sure there's a few. I mean, obviously, Triple H is the one we think of.
Larry Zbysko.
Larry Zbysko would be another one. Yeah, sure.
So,
Larry Zbysko. I'm sure there's others.
I'm sure. I just was throwing that out there. We're talking about the AWA. So, but yeah, so that's
Davey Boy Smith.
Yeah, Dave Boy Smith, that's true. Was he? Yeah. So there you go. Well, Dynamite Kid, for fuck's sake. No.
I think Dynamite was...
No, he wasn't married to... It was Michelle was...
the sister of one of the brothers.
Yeah, the sisters of one of the in-laws of the thing. Yeah.
So it's like Davey...
The Anvil.
The Anvil, sure. There's another one.
So. But, all right. So what's your... what's your question?
I got a couple questions here from Cena's mom.
All right.
Cena's mom sent us a question. Thank you, Cena's mom. Doesn't say where she's from. But we... What? That's Newberry.
That sucks.
Yeah. That's what I just assume. But she wanted to know. I assume it's a she anyways. But we'll see. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Just said Cena's mom.
Yep.
Anyways,
sucks.
Cena's mom emailed me at mo@wetalkpodcast.com.
That sucks.
Yeah. Anyways, she asked if Steve Austin... had stayed in WCW, gotten the Stone Cold gimmick, and been pushed to the main event, would WCW have won instead of WWE? The Monday Night Raw Wars. So, I don't know. What do you think on that?
I don't think so.
You think WWE still would have managed to win without Austin and with Austin on the other side? She's assuming they didn't fuck up Austin. At least on his ascension.
The thing with... You know, well, I mean, there's a couple X factors here.
There is,
man.
Yeah.
Is that if Austin was allowed to get to the top and become Stone Cold, the one factor that I've got is Ted Turner, the Time Warner, as it were, allowing that type of television to air. You talk about the standards and practices and that sort of, you know, that you're a company under the umbrella of another company under a corporate situation.
WCW at some point did manage to push it further than we remember.
Well, they did. No, I'm not saying, but consistently. I mean, to go out with Sable.
And you don't have to have every, you don't have
no,
to have
I don't.
Sable.
No,
you
that's
just
right.
have to have Austin,
I'm
right?
just saying, but that's kind of the package.
I mean, you had Scott Hall saying down there.
Down
stuff like that, really.
But the other X
down
factor.
There.
The other X factor,
Austin 316 never happens. Bret Hart doesn't come back to Steve Austin. Steve Austin isn't there with Mike Tyson. Who is then?
Well, The Rock is still there. Okay, that's the other thing you look at. I mean, when you look back at the successful, you had the two. And you think about it, when Austin, I mean, really after the pile driver from Owen...
Yeah.
You know, Austin was Hinderman, and he was, I mean, when Rikishi, I did it for The Rock, when he hit him with the car and he was out for a year and a bit, you know, Rock.
Yeah,
carried.
But Rock wasn't ready there to do that when, I mean, Rock was pretending to be his dad still, taking on the Sultan when Austin's taking on.
When Austin's bleeding.
Yeah.
Right? In the sharpshooter. But then it's months, die, Rocky, die. That only happened a few months later.
That's true.
So, I mean, that's...
That's true. So he cuts the smell, you smell the Rock is cooking promo at WrestleMania 14, so...
With Jennifer Flowers, yeah. Flowers, so, I mean, he'd be a hung jury if you smell what I'm cooking, Jenny. But, I just... That's an X factor. To me, it just goes on The Rock, and it's... you know, doable. The other thing with Austin is that Austin doesn't then have... I mean, the big thing that happened to Austin is you had a perfect storm of Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Okay, Austin 316 simmering and bubbling, much like we talked about with Daniel Bryan, simmering, mm-hmm. bubbling. Mike Tyson and the screw job,
mm-hmm.
right? You already had an anti-authority figure stunning JR and Sergeant Slaughter, and,
yep.
and then Vince, and then the screw. Ironically, Vince gets stunned the very same night or day he tells Brett the company is in financial peril, and we've got to let you out. That's
not the, no irony there.
No, but it's, I mean...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
That's just a... interesting to go back at, but then...
I don't know if they let Bret Hart go if they don't know that they have Austin there to... Maybe they still do, who knows?
I think maybe they let him go sooner.
Maybe.
I mean...
Maybe he never...
Because you're not selling Austin 316 t-shirts to
maybe
keep
Maybe he
the,
even, never even resigns, you're right.
Maybe I mean,
he,
to keep
he
the
literally...
Company,
maybe, yeah.
Keep the company floating, that's... I mean, they're selling Austin 316 shirts, right? So...
You know what? And I look at it, and I go, when... I wonder who else he would have kept. Like, I look at Austin, he would have come in, then DDP never would have been a big star. And DDP wasn't as big a star as Austin. But really, if you look at the fact that DDP does...
He was, too. Ask him.
That's true. But, I mean, if you replace DDP with Austin, it gives them a bump. Or, sorry, Austin with DDP, it gives them a bump. But I don't know if it's enough to offset all this other stuff. I also look at... You're right. When Austin wasn't there, and it was basically Goldberg head to head with The Rock,
mm-hmm.
on the two sides being the top draws in you know 99.
Yeah.
WWE was winning.
Yes.
I still would go at the end of the day with the people that knew what the fuck they were doing, knew what wrestling was about, and didn't have all. I think it's all the other backstage politics and people working there and. Things like having all these people on contracts and then having them sitting at home paying them $500,000 a year.
Well,
and things like that I still think would have caused WCW to lose. But it is tough.
Well, are you replacing Austin with the NWO or are you saying it's NWO and Austin?
Both.
So Austin is Sting or is
yeah,
it just something
or,
different? I mean,
it's just something
that's the other...
I think Austin is becomes the role. I think he's the role of DDP then, and they want him to join, and he turns on them.
Right. Okay.
I think
okay.
he's that guy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then, and you don't have Austin.
And,
to
and
do,
DDP
I mean,
never becomes a star.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. But no. But I mean,
no. I seriously, I think
yeah.
that's what would have happened.
Well, that, but then, like you said, I mean, on the flip side of everything, you still have Bret and Shawn. I mean, the reality is I don't. What was getting over, Steve Austin, in like that's when we talk about the summer of '97. I remember the summer of '97 as not so much with Steve. Steve was feuding with Owen at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, Owen rolls up Steve for the in the 10-man and the Canadian Stampede.
Yeah.
And so I look at it was more the Canada U.S. The beginnings of DX and the
and that's the thing. You
the
still
Hearts.
Have the beginning of DX. You still have the New Age Outlaws who are hungry. You still have Mick Foley. You still have like you have a lot of hungry. Even people like The Godfather, just people that are hungry and want to prove themselves to be stars and are actually getting a chance to get and mm-hmm. developing personalities.
Yeah,
I still lean to the WWE to win. But it's tougher and it probably takes longer.
Well, the thing
I think the thing is it's this is the difference. Is WWF almost went out of business, but
right.
they survived. If he's not there, they probably don't survive to get to the point where they overtake them. I think they still would have, but they probably don't, because without him, get to that point where they survive long enough. So I think that's why the argument should probably be that I think if they could have survived, they would have still done it. I think if they still had the talent and the booking and the style, and they still would have. But
the thing is,
they probably don't last.
I've heard it said before, and I kind of agree with this: is that when you say survive,
yeah,
like they survive.
Yeah.
If Vince McMahon has to go back to running, you know, out of the Hershey Pavilion,
yeah.
and taping 2 months worth of TVs in one shot,
yeah.
He'll do that.
That's true.
He would have done that.
Yeah.
And so...
And if that's the case and they did
that's
survive...
That's what you said. It would have taken longer then.
Yeah.
But
I still think they would have.
But they would have survived.
You know, what if The Rock had been? Would have made a difference if it was The Rock who had gone to WCW instead of WWE, and Austin had still shown up? Then you still have Austin's injury, and you don't have The Rock there to replace him, and The Rock's over on the other side. The Rock might keep Goldberg's ascension from happening, but...
Well, there's only so much television time.
But, yeah, I mean, and you don't have The Rock to carry the company when Austin goes down with that injury. You still have all that stuff happening. What if it was The Rock? And that's not what Cena's mom asked, but...
The thing is, but you're riding the wave, you know. If The Rock, I mean, what if it was The Rock, if The Rock had gone to WWE?
I think it might have been even worse for them if it was The Rock. I don't know, actually. Maybe it wouldn't. Because you have to think of...
Here's
Austin,
the thing.
Austin, and
you're
Austin,
that,
you still would have had Austin and Mike Tyson, right? So they still would have overtaken them at that point.
But you're saying that they are everything else is staying. It's just there's another act coming in.
Yeah.
Right there's Austin or there's Rock getting added to the NWO and Sting mix.
Yeah.
Right. All as you said, all that politics, everything that had the quote-unquote Nick Patrick fast count at Starrcade.
Yeah.
All that's still there.
That's true.
So that's where WCW, with the finger poke of doom, somewhat implodes from within.
But I don't know. It's funny because, you know, you have WWF, WWE. One established emerging personality may not have been enough. It may have needed to be two. And it could Rick Foley or Triple H have gotten to an even farther level without The Rock or without Austin there.
Foley.
That's kind of the question. Foley's probably the guy.
Foley would have been the guy.
Unfortunately, he already would have been near the end of his regular working career, but yeah. Yeah, I think it could have worked.
Yeah, but The Rock didn't...
stick around that much longer.
No. Like, I mean, he was Scorpion Kinging...
2003?
Yeah. Like,
I think so. 2004, somewhere like
that. I think it was even earlier than that.
Yeah. Yeah, so, okay. All right, well, let's move on to her second question, and then we'll wrap this sucker up. Again, I love it when you send questions. Keep them coming. Mo, M-O, at WeTalkPodcast.com for me. He's Addy at WeTalkWrestling.com.
Yes.
A-D-I-I. E.
A-D-D-I-E.
What'd I say?
A-D-I-I. A-D-I.
So email A-D-I. A-D-D-I-E at WeTalkWrestling.com. Mo, M-O, WeTalkPodcast.
They're pretty.
.com. Mo _ WeTalk on Twitter.
Yes.
WeTalkWrestling on Twitter.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
Addy _WTW.
That's right. At Luke Hudson.
Twitter.
On Twitter.
Wait. Oh, fuck that. all right, so let's, Cena's mom also asked me, what did she ask me? Because I didn't write it down. if WCW had one,
uh-huh.
What would wrestling be like today, and would it be better or worse?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I grew up on, you know, the WWF, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, we had Stampede as well, but, I mean, in terms of what's around now, I mean, I grew up on the WWF. So, you're talking about if WCW was still around, would wrestling be better or worse, I guess.
Yeah, what would it be like?
There's
better
a couple
or worse?
Of contexts, yeah. It'd be smaller.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to look at a big part of the expansion of WWF
uh-huh.
is that its base was in New York.
Yes.
Or Stanford, or in that.
Atlanta is a major market, though.
Yeah, it's a southern market.
No, it is. It's like fifth largest television market, I believe.
Fifth, fine.
And
it's not first.
Okay, it's not
New
first.
York City, right?
Yeah.
Or Los Angeles, number
yeah.
two, right? I mean, so that's all I'm saying.
When they had the Olympics and they put up the stats, though, in 1996 for that city, I didn't realize how big a major market that is. You look at CNN being there. You look at Coca-Cola being there.
Coca-Loco.
You look at, like, it's a major, major market. It's big enough that they could run out of there.
Yeah.
And be a national or international
city. Or its son, El Hijo del Coco Loco. But no, I mean, I look at it like it's smaller in its present. It probably evolves back to, without the competition, back to what it was, which is, It actually, WCW being still around and kind of maybe reverting back to its roots without competition, they would be more likely to go that MMA route.
Yeah.
In terms of the more plain Jane and two fighters going against each other one-on-one in the spirit of competition, or that they don't like each other, what have you.
Yeah.
Then of course, Vince would be, even going back to his father, you know, with the Chief Jays and the Valiant Brothers and the Dr. Jerry Grahams and all that, right?
Yeah.
So I do think that, you know, Gorilla Monsoon from Manchuria or wherever he's from, right? So,
yeah. I think, Noodle from Japan.
Yeah, but I think that WCW would be the ones of the two to survive that would present a more realistic product, right? The flip side is that there's also the very, very distinct possibility that it's just called Total Nonstop Action now.
No, it's not the same.
And
they want it to be, but it's not the same. Here's the thing. Here's how I would look at it. Starrcade never, ever,
ever
would have been as big as WrestleMania.
Again.
Okay? Ever. In 1996.
Well, it was at one point. Yeah, 97. But
No, I'm saying like as big as WrestleMania is right now. Like it drawing that 80,000, 1.3 million, I don't think they ever would have gotten WrestleMania, Starrcade over to that level.
Oh, okay.
Starrcade was around forever, and yes, it was a big event, but it didn't have the same name recognition.
Cachet,
I don't think
it was, exactly.
The other thing is, but they did start to build that, because 1996 they were ahead. 1996 they're already winning. They're already beating WWE.
Right.
1997 they're already beating WWE.
Well, that was the big one, right? 97 was Sting and Hogan.
Yeah. 1997 they're already beating WWE. 1998 it's pretty damn even. WWE's starting to pull ahead. But the thing is, 1996, 1997, 1998,
mm-hmm.
on television, if somebody brought up like on a football game, if they say it was a clothesline, that's like something out of WWF. That's how they would still say it. Somewhere around 98, 99, the term started people saying things like, oh, I'm playing, or that would be something out of WCW. So it started to get over, and the name recognition started to get almost even. But even then, even after being ahead of WWF for a few years, it still was lagging behind. It was only starting to, in 1999, catch up, and even then it wasn't even.
Well, I was just going to say, I think, and the big mentions of that's like WCW.
Yeah.
Similar to WWF pulling away with you know, so. Something you're going to be writing out here with the celebrities, with Mr. T and such. Rodman and Malone, right, did that for WCW.
Yeah, they really did. They really did to a large degree. And maybe I'll get to that in the, later on, but that might be a follow-up to after I finish all
follow
the WrestleMania.
Follow-up to
the WrestleMania celebrities logs that are coming up here.
DDP speaks very highly of it, by the way.
Sure he does.
Yeah.
We should ask him about it, but not today.
Not today.
And I, by the way, I don't think we have John Cena on today.
I know. We're supposed to have Cena on. And
next week. He obviously, he never called. It's late where he is.
I know.
We're a couple hours
ahead. But you know what? He'll be happy that you answered his mom's questions.
Yeah. I mean, he'll be on next week, maybe.
What do you think?
After Extreme Rules. He'll definitely be on after Extreme Rules. I guarantee it.
We will have him, yes. We'll be the first post Extreme Rules
with John Cena.
We will.
It'll be awesome.
What do you think about that, Julia Lawrence?
Whoa.
Perfect.
Excellent. And Vince, I do have somebody calling in here, wanted to talk about Vince Russo's U-shoot and what he has to think about that.
Really?
Yeah. Samoa Joe, what do you think?
Fuck Russo!
There you go. But anyways, they were still behind him, so I don't really think, would it have gotten, as far as the quality in the ring,
right,
and the entertainment of the product, I think it would have been about even. I probably preferred what WWF style because I grew up on it a little more, but I think it's pretty much would have been about even. As far as how would have been, though, it wouldn't be the same cultural figure under WCW. I don't think it ever would have become as what WWE is right now. And that's kind of how I view it. But as far as entertainment, probably pretty close to the same.
The thing is, but the business as a whole is smaller.
A little bit smaller, yeah.
Well,
you're right, not probably in a little bit. If we're doing 3-1s now, I'd say you're doing 2-1s.
Vince McMahon is, if he's anything, he's a promotional juggernaut. They always talk about the machine, the WWF machine behind you.
2-1, 2-2s if it's WCW.
I'm also talking about, you know, getting the arenas and packing the arena and doing all that. Like, I mean,
like I say, a WCW Starcade would not be, yeah, it wouldn't.
No, that's right, exactly, that's part of it.
Quality would probably be about the same, it would just, wrestling would not be as big.
But talking about the celebrity tie-in, 2012 Starcade would involve Mr. T.
There's a chance.
So,
yeah,
probably a better.
All right, well, we've already done the plugs a little bit, so why don't you talk a little bit of what else is going on the website.
I have another question, though. I have one more question. Can I do one more question?
Really? Yeah. All right, let's do it.
And you'll like this question. It's from Anthony Davis, who asked.
Anthony Rubble Davis? No,
that's Johnson.
Oh.
Yeah. And Phil Davis, Mr. Wonderful.
Mr. Wonderful.
Mr. Wonderful, love it. Anthony Davis asked the question off the heels of your talk about YouTube that I mock you about all the time, constantly, even when not on the air. I just said 3 a.m. I'll send him a text. How many people are watching on YouTube right now? I'll do it.
But for those of you wondering, Addy's not a dickhead just 2 hours of the week.
No.
He's a dickhead 24/7,
that's right.
365 days a week, 366 in leap years.
Living the gimmick.
That's right.
You got to do it. But the question is now with the more people watching it on YouTube, with the Twitter influx that the WWE is doing, is the internet less smart?
Is the internet less smart? I think so.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was an interesting question, because that always used to be like, oh, it's on the internet. Everybody knows, you know.
Well, even when Daniel Bryan was debuting, they were talking about that, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's all the internet people.
Yeah.
And they are less smart. And
let me tell you, that I love the people who follow us on Twitter, but they're not all smart.
Oh, no? No, but I think that because
there's more marks.
People are going on the internet now.
Yeah.
It's a normal thing.
Yeah.
It's not just computer geeks.
Just computer geeks or people that are so hardcore that back in 1996, 1995, when maybe you had the internet but your friend didn't, and then you're a huge fan, and you went over to your friend's house to look at the wrestling, the spoilers.
Because
you were, wrestling scoops, because you were that big into it.
Al Isaacs.
Those guys were the smarts because they were ahead, because they cared that much and they understood the business and they wanted to get an inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now people just casually use the internet to communicate.
Yeah, that's right.
And therefore you're not as smart, you don't have a smarter crowd, it's a more casual crowd.
Yeah, there'd be more people, say, on, you know, that would go and look us up.
There's more smarts, but I don't know the high, there's more smarts now on the internet, but the percentage of smarts is lower.
Yeah, Yeah, that makes sense. There's more people that are smarter. Let's say there's 1,000 instead of 500 just for smaller numbers.
Yeah.
But instead of being, 500 out of 600 people that are going on, it's 1,000, out of
10,000. Yeah.
So I think that's an interesting question because that's something that.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
You know, it kind of just starts to dispel a little that argument that, people like Hunter you hear every once in a while will say, right? Oh, it's that internet. That's it. It's like, well, no, the internet's actually just, like talking on the phone now.
Yeah, it really
so,
is.
You know,
it really is,
one of those things. But So, I thought I'd bring that up because that was...
That's a great question.
Yeah,
thank you, Anthony Davis. And I did notice somebody in our comments said that they would like, last week we talked about tag teams, and then of course that led to a couple blogs here, but we'll talk about it a little bit more. But somebody mentioned they would like us to do the Intercontinental favorites and best of that too. Now we're not going to do that this week.
No, not this week. No.
But I think we'll get to that in a couple
weeks. I guess.
At some point here.
There was someone had mentioned it. I thought of it after the show. Is one of the best. Well, two of the best tag teams that we never mentioned on the show, and so I was remiss and I felt bad. I think I was in the bathroom after the show, and I went, oh, fuck, because we didn't talk about the Hollywood Blondes.
Yeah. I'm not sure if they had that two-year run.
They didn't have a two-year run, but we have to mention the Hollywood Blondes. So they did have a two-year run, and I mentioned half of them earlier, talking about tag teams. Krista Marie and Me on Your Mom, one of my favorites of all time.
That's one of your favorite tag teams?
Yes.
You and Krista Marie
on Your
Mom.
Two-year run.
Fuck you, Addy.
Well, fuck
her.
Fuck
you.
She did. Both of them. Tag team. Tag out.
Tap.
Taparoo.
All right.
Well, we got the Twitter plugs out of the way. WeTalkWrestling.com, the website. That is where you can find the show, find some wonderful blogs about tag teams, about...
Addy wrote a raw blog about fixing tag teams in 2012, what he would do. And I wrote a follow-up on expanding the ideas a little further. Those One is up, and one is up tomorrow morning.
Yeah, we're going to put the second one, your follow-up on it tomorrow morning, which is really good, because they really should be sort of read together, because all I really did more was, mine was sort of building a base of...
Teams.
Of a division, yeah. Teams. So who would I have team together?
And mine was, how would you make the team
and
relevant?
You're taking those teams, exactly, yeah. And making it actually relevant again.
Yeah.
So they are very good complimentary there, and again, it'll go up tomorrow.
You had another idea for that you put up a new, I guess, semi-regular blog?
It's going to be a regular column called Addy and Bizarro Land.
Because we're in Canada.
And it's exactly. But what I'm going to do is it's going to take a pretty prevalent viewpoint and turn it upside down. So a lot of people bash John Cena on the internet, so I did the debut column, was talking about the good. I had three of the major good points of John Cena.
And he put up one of the great pitchers in the history of the world.
Yes, I know, isn't it? The bizarro
awesome.
John Cena, Darren Young, and John Cena standing side by side there. So,
frightening.
It really is. But there'll be some future... future issues of Bizarro Land will be why ECW sucked, the good of Vince Russo.
There you go.
Lots of nice,
And lots of ideas. And while he's doing that, I got my regular thing right now is I'm going through every WrestleMania, the celebrities, their role, and the success or failures, and talking about them.
Yeah.
So we're going to go through every WrestleMania in history. So the first blog is up, part one, and that is WrestleMania 1 and WrestleMania 2.
Yeah.
You're right. It's drafted. You're right. It's drafted. It's just we're saving it. We're just kind of spreading these out a little bit.
I'm editing
it.
Actually.
Fuck you. It's up Thursday.
I am editing it. Cause, yeah.
Why?
Huh? Well, there's numbers after some of the WrestleManias, you know.
What the hell are you talking about?
WrestleMania 2.
I put that in there, didn't I? Oh, you know, I might have been.
I don't worry. When I was reading it through, I edited it because you're not smart. So.
I had four blogs drafted or edited put up in this afternoon. It was a lot of work to do, so I might have made a mistake, but.
No, you did.
Yeah, okay. All right. Fuck you.
That's all at WeTalkWrestling.com, so I would encourage everybody to go there. WeTalkWrestling.podomatic.com is where all the show archives directly are, and you can like them. You can become our Podomatic friend if you like. We're on Facebook as well at Facebook.com.
Yeah, WeTalkWrestling.com. You can hit the Facebook like button there. Hit the tweet button. Tweet us out. Facebook like us out. Help spread the word for us, because we're too lazy to do ourselves.
We are social media juggernauts, ladies and gentlemen. So,
We're also linked over to We Talk Podcasts, and we are going to be having something. We Talk Podcast is going to a major event this week, and we're going to have some interviews with some huge stars, really some big wrestling stars.
And Kazarni.
We're hoping to get Kazarni, Jake Snake Roberts, Honky Tonk Man, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Ted DiBiase, and so hopefully we will
get the Million Dollar Man.
We have our media accreditations for this event. And it also has some movie stars and some television stars is going to be there as well that would go over to We Talk podcasts and other interviews and other areas. So check that out. There's blogs and different shit over there too, music, movies, all sorts of stuff.
Cool.
All right. Whores.
Yeah, no shit, eh? That took about
speaking
10
of your
minutes.
Mom.
About 10 minutes there. Speaking of your mom, but. That's going to do it then for this week. So we've got we'll be back just post.
We'll do everything we can. Next week is crazy with that convention. Try and get here and watch Extreme Rules and do a show.
Yeah. No. We'll do it for the peeps.
For the peeps.
For the peeps.
Well, you're paying.
Anyway, that's right. So anyway, well, in the meantime and in between time, that's
O-U-T.
It. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.